How does one become a saint? Now, I'm not talking about the official process of canonization in the Roman Catholic Church, or even the much less rigorous process of becoming a holy woman or holy man in the Episcopal Church. I'm talking about how does one become part of the great cloud of witnesses? I guess maybe we should first ask, what does it mean to be a saint? Now, obviously, these are questions that arise today because we are celebrating the Feast of All Saints, but they're important questions not simply because of today's celebration. I mean, yes, the parish was founded on November 1st in 1894, and this is our 125th anniversary. So we were founded on All Saints Day, and so All Saints is the name of the parish. But come on, there's more to it than that. There always is, right? Context. Context is important. So our very first rector, Daniel Addison, said, "The Parish of All Saints was not founded and sustained because we wished to be respectable simply, or because we wanted to foster the social life of the people, or to observe fittingly the first day of the week, but because in our hearts there was the longing after the worship of God and the religious training of ourselves and our children. It was the idea of sainthood that was present in our minds, even if vaguely." It was the idea of sainthood that is present, even if vaguely. And that is something that is true not just for us because we're called All Saints, but for all Christians. It's not simply that we come here because we're called all saints. Rather, all Christians are called to be saints. But what does that mean? Now, already I can tell some of you might be thinking, wait a minute, this is not for me. I don't want to be a saint. Way too hard, way too scary. Don't they have to do superhuman stuff and die in horrible ways? One was slain by a fierce wild beast, right? Well, some did, but many did not. And if that's what is going through your mind right now, I invite you to take a deep breath and hear something that Thomas Merton said in his autobiography, The Seven Story Mountain. He said, "People who look like saints to us very often are not. And those who do not look like saints very often are." So the people doing the big, bold things, even the people that the church considers saints, may not actually be saints. And those who don't look like saints, the ones living quiet, simple lives, might well be. But what does it mean to be a saint? So I think Merton is actually a reliable guide here. And if you remember back in September, I quoted him as saying that a tree gives glory to God by being a tree. Right? A tree doesn't need to do anything else but be a tree and give glory to God. But we're different than that. We get to choose whether to be our true selves or our false selves. And our vocation, Merton says, is not simply to be, but to work together with God in the creation of our own life, our own identity, our own destiny. To be a saint, he says, means to be myself. But not just my natural self, but the self that God created me to be, the self that I must work with God, collaborate with God in order to creatively achieve. To be a saint means to be my true self. Is it really that simple? Well, yes and no, right? In The Seven Story Mountain, Merton tells a story about walking down 6th Avenue in New York. This is years before he entered the Abbey at Gethsemane, with a friend of his named Lax, who asks him, "So what do you want to be anyway?" And Merton goes through a whole list of things that he could say. I want to be Thomas Merton the author or Thomas Merton the literature professor. But he decides to say, I guess what I want is to be a good Catholic. But his friend rejects this and says, no, what you should say is that you want to be a saint. Merton writes, the thought struck me as a little weird. I can't be a saint. My mind darkened with confusion of realities and unrealities. How do you expect me to become a saint? And what his friend says next would become historic and life-changing for Merton, and it remains challenging and important for all of us to hear. How do you expect me to become a saint? And his friend simply replies, by wanting to. All that is necessary to be a saint is to want to be one. But most of us don't want to be one. For a lot of reasons. Fear, doubt, false humility. But his friend goes on, don't you believe that God will make you what God created you to be? If you will consent to let God do it? Do we believe that God can and will do that? And see, in my experience, my personal lived experience, and my experience pastoring people, I find that most of us, most of the time, don't have that kind of faith in God. We don't believe that God can actually change us. And even if we do, we have an even harder time consenting to allow God in to do it. Because it means giving up control. It means turning ourselves over to God in ways that make us deeply uncomfortable. But that's what saints do. They have faith that God will make them what God created them to be, and they consent to let God do it. Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Not my will, but yours be done. Saints, says Merton, are those who live in the light of God alone. And shouldn't we all strive to do that? Merton writes that when a ray of light strikes a crystal, it gives a new quality to the crystal. And when God's love plays upon the human soul, the same kind of thing takes place. Our souls, our lives, our true selves are crystals that the love and light of God shines through and transforms and by which the world is illuminated. That's what becoming a saint means. It means allowing the light of God to shine through you. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's it. That's all you have to do. But it means having faith and trusting in God and consenting to allow God in to do that work. And that's where we often need help. You've probably heard the line that sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage makes you a car, right? Just showing up is a good thing, but it's no guarantee that it will make you act more like Jesus out in the world or become saints, right? What we need are practices that will help crack us open a little bit. Crack open our stony crystal hearts and teach us how to trust God, how to consent to God, how to be open and ready to let go of the controls, how to surrender, which I admit I am not good at, and I don't think many of us are. But all of the things that we've been practicing here, finding time for Sabbath and doing centering prayer and writing down our gratitudes and reaching out across difference, sharing our stories and learning how to really listen to one another, making commitments of time and talent and, yes, treasure. All of the spiritual practices that we offer here, they are all ways of letting go of control. They're ways of cracking us open and letting the light in. You all know that Leonard Cohen line, right? There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. These practices crack us open so that the light can get in. And the more we let go of control, the more the Holy Spirit can get in and work. Time spent in silence and prayer is a time when the Holy Spirit can slip in and begin to speak a word of peace to our confusion, a word of courage to our fear, a word of comfort to our distress. Expressing our gratitude and the generous giving of time and treasure makes cracks where the Holy Spirit can work on our fear of never ever having enough. Being in the moment makes cracks where the Holy Spirit can root us in the present and help us stop chasing after the receding future or ruminating on the past. Living simply so that others can simply live makes cracks where the Holy Spirit can help us reprioritize all of our resources. Practicing Sabbath cracks open some time when the Holy Spirit can remind us how vital it is to have times of reflection and an appreciation for the simplest and most profound things in life. This parish was founded 125 years ago, but not simply because we wanted to be respectable or to contribute to the social life of the community, as wonderful as those things are. It was founded because we longed to worship God and to train ourselves how to become saints. How do you become a saint? By wanting to, by simply desiring it, and by letting go, loving your enemies, praying for those who trouble you, giving when you're afraid that there's not enough, sharing with no thought of quid pro quo, doing unto others, by consenting to letting God in to change you into what God has always intended you to be. By walking only in the light of God and letting it shine through you always. Amen.